for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
No greater confidence than that, to be able to say, it is well with my soul. I mean, you can have everything in the world. You can be the richest person in the world. You could have all the securities of the world. But to be able to say, it's well with my soul, that money can't buy that kind of security. Wonderful. I want to read tonight from John 10, first 10 verses of John chapter 10. And this is the reason why we can say that with confidence, because of this. First 10 verses, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger, in fact. They will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Wonderful words. The Gospel of John records seven I am sayings or statements made by Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the door, or I am the gate, as it is in the NIV, for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And I am the vine. And of all those seven sayings, the I am sayings of Jesus, I would say that the one, I am the good shepherd, is probably the most well known, and it's probably the most well loved. Maybe because people can sort of see the image of the wayward sheep. Yesterday, on a wee walk up Slievenora, on that road up, whatever you call that road, the Antler Richard Road, there was lots of little sheep on the verges and just wandering about the roads, actually, because that's what they do. And we all know that image of the wayward sheep, and we relate to it, that we ourselves are wayward sheep. And then we sort of grasp that image, the good shepherd. What does he do? He goes out and he rescues the sheep that have wandered off. He protects his sheep. He loves his sheep. He looks after his sheep. He leads his sheep to pasture. And then you think about the Old Testament, and we sang Psalm 23 tonight in a different version, but still Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. That image right from the Old Testament there of Jesus as our shepherd, a very comforting image and very important to Christians over the centuries. But we're maybe not so familiar with this other I am saying of Jesus related to the good shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the gate, or I am the door of the sheep pen. But that's the one I want us to think about this evening. And it's very important, very relevant for our time. I think it's probably the most neglected of all the I am sayings of Jesus. Maybe because in the context, it can be a wee bit difficult to interpret. And it seems to sort of mix things up a wee bit. And many people have given difficult, I would say even, complicated interpretations. But tonight, I want you to hold these two pictures together in your head. That Jesus is the gate to the sheep pen, But Jesus is also the shepherd. Those two need to stay together. And you'll be very thankful to know I'm not going to go into very difficult interpretations. Tonight, just going to keep to a really simple understanding of what Jesus was saying. But you do need to understand the context he said it in. Now, the whole of John chapter 9, quite a long passage, that whole chapter is describing the incident of Jesus healing a man who was born blind. And Jesus had just come away from somewhere else where actually they were going to stone him to death because Jesus had said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Right, the religious people did not like Jesus saying that. They were talking about Abraham, and Jesus is saying, you know, Abraham was looking forward to my day. Before Abraham was, I am. That those words, I am, they go right back to when Moses said to God, "God, who will I say sent me?" You know, to go back to release the children of Israel. And God says, "I am." That is the name of God. And Jesus saying, "I am." So the Jews were furious. They're going to stone him. Jesus hid and escaped. And then he came to this place. And there's a man there. And he was born blind. I don't know if they how they knew that, but he was born blind. Jesus, well, the disciples, firstly, they asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? Did he sin or was it because of his parents' sin? Jesus said it was neither, but that the glory of God might be revealed. I love that. That is amazing. And Jesus just, the man never asked Jesus for anything. Well, at least it's not recorded. Jesus just went. He spat on the ground, mixed up the dust and the spit, made it into some mud, put it in the man's eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, somebody must have led him there, and he went and he washed in the pool of Siloam. As he's coming away, he's completely healed. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know what, though? That healing raised so many issues. There was the big issue, the main issue, he did it on the Sabbath. Like sort of silly Jesus, you know, doing it on the Sabbath, bringing God's glory on the Sabbath day, on God's holy day. The Jews were furious. He can't be from God because he's broken the rules. He's broken our Sabbath traditions. He can't be from God. And then they quizzed the man all about Jesus and who did it. I mean, the man was like, you know, well, he can't be a sinner because God doesn't open people's blind eyes through sinners. He must be a prophet. And then they hauled in the man's parents. And they said to the man's parents, you know, who healed him? What happened? And want all of this here. The parents were very suspicious. They were very wary. They said, he's an adult. He's a man. He can speak for himself. Go and speak to him again. Why were the parents so wary? It tells us in chapter 9, verse 24, because the Pharisees were threatening to excommunicate from the synagogue anybody who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ. Can you believe it? The synagogue was supposed to be God's house. And they were threatening to cut off and put out of the synagogue anybody who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ. This same Jesus who had just said, "I am." Jesus wasn't threatened by them, but other people were threatened by them. They were intimidated. They were scared. To be a Jew, to be a follower of Judaism, and to be put out of the synagogue, what a stigma. The Pharisees wanted the man to say that Jesus was a sinner. That's what they wanted. I actually just find you that verse because that is actually so unbelievable. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." Give glory to God and say he's a sinner. The man says, whether he's a sinner or not, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. The Pharisees were full of argument, full of threats and intimidation. This man was blind, but now he could see. So many Christians also become threatened by the people with the arguments. Listen, if you've got the experience, don't be threatened. Never be threatened. Stand up and say, I maybe don't know all the arguments. I couldn't maybe argue everything with every chapter and verse. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Isn't that wonderful? That man was put out of the synagogue. He was thrown out. Jesus then had a conversation with him later, and Jesus basically said to him, do you know what? It's the Pharisees who are blind. It's those who think they see everything. They think they see the truth, but they don't see or recognize me, and they are the blind ones. And it's just, again, you can see it. The clash between what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and the narrow, restrictive views of the religious leaders. Jesus, everywhere he went, he brought spiritual life. He brought healing to people. He drew people to God. But the religious leaders, they brought spiritual death. They brought fear. They brought destruction. And they pushed people away from God. So here, immediately after this, Jesus is contrasting, he's drawing out the contrast between himself and the religious people and dead religion. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. And as I thought about this passage, three things have stood out to me. So I'm going to speak on tonight. Security, relationship, and freedom. That's how I see Jesus being the gate. Just going to look briefly at these three things. Scholars of ancient times have pointed out there's two types of sheep pen. First type, out in the open hillside, really sort of rough and ready, a circle built of stones, just built up sort of quite roughly. They wouldn't even have a proper roof on it. They'd maybe just grow briars over it, or maybe a vine sometimes. It wouldn't have a proper door or gate. But when the shepherd would call all the sheep in off the hillside at night and gather them into the sheep pen, the shepherd himself would lie across the entrance. The shepherd was the gate for the sheep. He was the one who would protect them from predators and thieves. If somebody tried to get into that sheep pen through climbing over the wall any other way, they were a thief and a robber. The other type of sheep pen was more commonly in the villages and the towns. It was maybe a bit bigger. And a few different shepherds could bring their herds. No, I don't think you call it a herd. I think it's a flock. Glad Gwyneth is helping a ewe to lamb tonight. Otherwise, she'd be shooting me. Anyway, the flocks, they put all these flocks in there. And a porter, a man, would guard the sheep during the night. In the morning, the shepherd would come. And he would just begin to call out for his own sheep. Maybe whistle, sing. And his own sheep would know his name, know his voice rather, and they would just follow him out and follow him to pasture, recognizing his voice. But in any of these pictures, you recognize the sheep pen is a place of security. And when Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep, whoever enters through me will be saved. He was most likely thinking about that one, that rustic kind of pen out on the hillside. The shepherd lying across the entrance, being the actual door or gate for the sheep. But when he said, I am the gate, that was an absolutely exclusive claim. You need to understand that. He was saying, and he was telling the people, only through me will you find salvation. Only through me. That's the same as he's saying in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's the same. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Such a contrast to the message that many of Jesus' hearers were used to. They were used to having endless religious obligations placed on them. And the problem was, they knew, no matter how hard we try, we can never live up to the law of God. No matter how hard we try, we can never live up to the laws of our leaders either, because they were so inflexible. It's impossible to live up to the law of God. Did you know that? None of us can fulfill the law of God. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The law was given to show us how sinful we are. The law was given to give us a consciousness of our sin, to make us realize we can never reach God. Jesus came and he fulfilled that law completely. But not only, and this is so important and so wonderful, not only did Jesus come and fulfill the law completely, he died on the cross to pay the punishment for our breaking of the law. Isn't that wonderful? What a shepherd. But the religious leaders of Jesus' time, they were harsh, they were inflexible. I mean, they were absolute hypocrites. They were clean on the outside, outwardly doing all this stuff. Jesus said on the inside, they were absolutely filthy. People lived in fear. Fear of being put out of the synagogue. Fear of breaking the rules. But Jesus came and his message was so different. It wasn't about rules. It wasn't about intimidation. It wasn't about threats. He came with a simple message and a promise. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Isn't that incredible? Wonderful. What security. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I was reading this week, James Montgomery Boyce, one of his, like a commentary sermon type thing. And he was saying that his mother was brought up in a religious or a Christian family, actually, heard the gospel hundreds of times, never responded because she never really understood it. And one evening, the preacher was preaching and he said, I want you to imagine the cross. And in the cross, I want you to imagine a door. And on that door is written, whoever may come. And when you walk through that door and you turn round and you look at the other side, it will say on it, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that night, his mother responded. She understood it. It's like the penny dropped, because she was always listening and thinking, you know, I wonder, is that for me? I wonder, has God chosen me? I wonder, is it for me? And he said, I just want you to see that whoever may come, the message goes out. And then when you go through that door and you turn around, look, see it there, chosen in Christ. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Confidence and security. The whole point is, he provides that security for us. There's no wondering, what if I'm not saved? What if I'm not really saved? If you enter through Jesus, you will be saved. Hallelujah. And then secondly, relationship. I mean, you couldn't fail to read that passage in John 10 there and not see the contrast between the true shepherd and the thieves and the robbers. What does it say about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep? It says the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. He goes on ahead of them. They follow him because they know his voice. I just think reading that, there's such comfort there. Because you see the relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. Sheep are out on a hillside grazing. If you're thinking back to Israel, they're out on a hillside grazing. They're used to hearing the shepherd. He's maybe whistling. He's maybe singing. Maybe if he sees them going near a cliff, he's calling on them. If they get stuck somewhere, he's going to rescue them. He's talking to them. At night, he's calling them into the sheep pen. Again, he's speaking to them. He's maybe giving them all wee pet names and whatever. Maybe that's a wee bit idealistic. But he's speaking to them. Maybe at night, he's singing and he's whistling as he's guarding them. In the morning, he calls them out to pasture again. So day by day, night by night, they hear his voice. And they've learned to recognize it. And the Bible says, Jesus says, if they hear a stranger's voice, they run away because they recognize it's not the voice of safety and security. The passage says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that wonderful? I read a wee story of a man who was quite recently a pastor in Israel. And he actually, it was in a town where there was one of these bigger sheepfolds with multitudes of flocks or a few flocks in it at night. And he said the shepherds would come in the morning and they would just start singing and whistling and their own sheep would run out after them. So the different flocks would run out after the different shepherds. We recognize Jesus' voice. But what a picture Jesus was given of the heart of God when he said, the sheep, the shepherd knows you and calls you by name. What a picture of the heart of God. We live in a world with 7 billion people. A world that is plagued by loneliness. There are so many lonely people. There are so many people who honestly feel that nobody cares for them. That nobody's interested in them. That nobody loves them. What security we have in Jesus. He knows and he calls us by name. Think about that. Timothy Keller said a little thing that I read today. The founders of every major religion said, I'll show you how to find God. Jesus said, I am the God who has come to find you. That is the truth. Jesus calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. He came to find us and buy us with his own blood. He's calling your name, suggests relationship. And he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The only way we can know God, the only way we can be accepted by God is through Jesus. I don't know how you pray. Some people just pray to Jesus. Some people just pray to the Father. I wouldn't want to get tied up in knots about it, but we do pray to the Father. We ought to pray to the Father through Jesus. Jesus is the gate. He is the one who has opened up the way for us to enter into the Father's very presence. Wonderful in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the only gate we can enter to find salvation. And it says he goes on ahead of them and they follow him because his voice is familiar. It's safe. They know he's going to lead them to a safe place. The shepherd doesn't need to drive his flock, doesn't need to force them to do this or that. He just takes them, he leads them. He's the one they know who will lead them to good pasture, to fresh pasture, to water. He'll provide security. He'll protect them from predators. If we've truly entered the sheep pen, we too need to learn, and we do learn, to know his voice. We hear him calling our name. Now, we first hear him calling our name at salvation. But surely, that's not the only time we hear Jesus call our name. Surely not. Do you still hear Jesus calling your name? You still hear him? I was speaking to somebody this morning. We're just speaking a wee bit about this. But you know how when people are sharing together, some people are sharing and saying, this is what the Lord spoke to me today, or this is what the Lord spoke to me this week or this month, recently. This is what the Lord spoke to me. And other people are always looking away back and saying, this is what the Lord spoke to me 10, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, it is still good to call to mind those things. But is the Lord still speaking to you today? Are you still hearing his voice? Because the sheep and the shepherd stay in close relationship. Surely Psalm 23, so apt. Are we still experiencing Jesus as the shepherd of our soul, leading us out into green pastures, leading us beside the quiet water? Are we still experiencing him calling our name and restoring our soul? That is not just a picture of salvation for the start of salvation. That is a picture of a life relationship with the shepherd. And the thing is, when we hear him, when we become familiar with his voice, that's when we recognize when the thieves and the robbers come. That's when we recognize when they are trying to climb over the wall into our lives. You know, some people don't recognize the thieves and the robbers because they're not listening to the shepherd's voice. The passage here uses two terms, of thieves and robbers. Robber is like a term with violence. You know, like if somebody came into your house tonight, I hope this doesn't happen to anybody, with an axe. Well, you know they're not a friend unless they're coming to chop wood, but that's a bit doubtful on a Sunday night. If somebody comes into your house with an axe tonight, they're probably a robber. And you'd recognize them. Or if you work in a bank and somebody comes in with a gun, you know, they are looking to withdraw money. A lot of it all at once. You couldn't mistake them. They're obvious. But the word for thief here is different. It's somebody who comes by stealth. Maybe somebody who goes into a shop and sort of walking along, and you wouldn't even notice them, but they stick something under their coat or into their bag. Or somebody who comes into your house, maybe you think they're a friend, but a piece of jewelry goes missing or some money goes missing. And after a while, you suspect stuff's going missing from your house. We need to learn to listen for Jesus' voice, because if we don't recognize it, there are times when spiritual thieves will come over the wall. We will recognize most of us the robber, somebody who comes with violence, some big attack that tries to pull us away from Christ. But some of us are a bit slow to recognize the thieves that come. Here's how you know them. Are you losing out spiritually? Do you notice your peace disappearing? Your joy disappearing? Your love disappearing? If you notice these things disappearing from your life, the thieves have come in. By stealth, they've sneaked over them the wall. Maybe gradually stolen through worry, worldly distraction, legalistic teaching. But we need to ask ourselves, are the thieves coming in and presenting themselves as friends? Learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd. The Jewish people that Jesus spoke to, they thought their leaders were teaching them the right way to follow God, but they weren't. All they were doing was driving the people, placing burdens on the people, controlling the people through fear. But when Jesus spoke, it was on a different level. He was speaking about relationship, being called by name, being loved, being cared for, and being secure. And finally, freedom. Jesus said of the people who enter through him, he said they will go in and they will go out and they will find pasture. And then he adds another contrast. He said, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Wonderful. One day quite recently, I heard a group of people talk in one lunchtime, and they were talking about their upbringing and when they were children and about the absolute control a particular church had over their parents' lives. The people were expected to listen and to obey without question the authority that the church assumed over them. But when I was listening to these people talking, it was clear that what they were talking about, it was not life, it was not freedom, it was stealing, it was killing, and it was destroying. The church was exerting a control, a negative control over people's lives that was restrictive and destructive. Jesus' listeners were familiar with that too. Now, some people are happy, believe it or not, with that kind of outward control because they feel it keeps people in line. It keeps people sort of doing the right thing. But you know something? It flies in the face of everything Jesus Christ talked about. Jesus came to give life, to give life to the full. Religion that is forced outwardly onto people where there is no inward change of heart is always destructive. It brings fear, it brings bondage, and it brings destruction. Forced outward religion is a killer. And Jesus recognized it, and that's why he said, the people who trust in me, they will go in and they will go out and they will find pasture. He said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Now, some people, even some Christians, are a bit scared when you talk about freedom because they think, oh, you know, I'm worried if you talk about freedom, Christians, maybe particularly young Christians, will just think, oh, well, you can do what you want. You know, it's a license to live how you please. But this is to misunderstand the true nature of Christian freedom, because freedom that Jesus gives is freedom from the curse of sin. We sang it again this morning. The sin's curse has lost its hold on me. That's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about, you don't need to live under the law anymore because the law has been fulfilled. You don't need to pay the punishment. The price has been paid. Real freedom in Christ. True Christian freedom works from the inside out. If somebody is truly, truly born again, they will be changed. They will be changed. Some of the change might not be instant. We need to be encouragers. We need to be patient. But if truly people have been saved, there is a change from the inside out. And surely that has to continue with us all. But freedom is an important part of Jesus' mission. He said, we'll go in and out and find pasture. He's always leading us. Is Jesus leading you to new places? Is he leading you to new discoveries of who he is through his word? Is he leading you to new revelations of his love and his grace? Is he maybe leading you to new areas of service and ministry? Because Jesus said, you know, you'll go in and you'll go out and you'll find pasture. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. This evening as I close, I'm just going to read Psalm 23 to us. Very familiar psalm. Probably the most familiar psalm. Wonderful words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right there we have security, we have freedom, we have relationship right there. Jesus said, I am the gate. He is the gate to the sheep pen, and he is a shepherd of the sheep. Let's pray. What a truth, Lord, that whoever enters through you will be saved. Tonight, if you don't know the Lord, if he is not yet your shepherd, that door is right open for you. Jesus said, whoever, anyone, he's calling your name, he's calling for you. He said, enter in and be saved. This world has promised you freedom, but it's not there. There's no freedom there. But in Jesus Christ, you will find true freedom. Absolute security for your soul. Just speak to him now in your heart. Put your trust in him. Father, I thank you again for your word. It always comforts us and challenges us too, Lord. And I pray, Lord, help us not just to put it to the side, but to live in the truth of it. Help us to know increasingly the transforming power of your word by the power of your spirit working in us, that we be more like Jesus. Lord, we want as your people to be led by you, to go in and out and find pasture. We want to eat, Lord, the rich food that you have provided and be satisfied. Lead us this week, Lord. I pray that this week, all of us here, we would know your voice calling our name this week, that we would recognize your voice speaking to us this week. And I pray, Lord, it wouldn't be one-sided. I pray that we would also talk to you. You are our shepherd. You are our shepherd. We love you, Lord. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for paying the price that we could come into the fold. In Jesus' name, amen.
And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelan.com.